Alright folks, hello and welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast episode number 90 for Monday, July the 30th, 2012. We're back, we're bad, we're ready for action. The whole crew's here. We got Jason, we got Mike, we got Locke, we got myself, Nick. I hope you're having a grand old day.
Nick, who is large and in charge.
I'm having a good day today.
You can see we've upgraded our podcasting abilities over the broadcast, and we now have lower thirds that are dedicated.
Which worked very well over an auditory medium.
Yes.
Locke, don't look behind you. Don't look behind you, Locke. No!
Anyways, video games.
Yes, so we're going to talk about video games and co-op video games. Even though it's summer and there's not a lot going on, not a lot of news, but we've got a good topic, I think, tonight to discuss. But let's first talk about what we've been playing. And I'm going to go at Locke first because he's got an interesting array of games he's been playing, and soon, including one I haven't heard of. So, Locke, why don't you take that away?
Okay. If you want to hear about the one you've never heard of, I'm assuming that's 10 million, or sorry, 1 million.
Yeah, 1 million. Tell us about 1
million. 1 million is the new hotness on Match 3. So what you do in 1 million is it's a dungeon crawler on the surface, but then what happens is, did any of you guys play Dungeon Run, where you had to kind of drag your finger and match swords and hearts and money bags? Kind of think about, it's kind of like that, except,
different.
It is different because the mechanic is that they still have the grid across the screen. I think it's like, 10 by 10 grid. And what you do is to match the things up, you put your finger on the device. I'm playing, it's on iOS and iPad and all that. You take your finger and say there's two swords over here. You have to slide the sword over and it slides the whole row. It's the screen is always changing. And say you have like two shields down below, you can drag the column up and down. So it's this sort of cool symphony of dragging the columns and the rows across to get all these matching things as you're progressing through this dungeon. And it's hectic because it's all timed, because you are fighting in real time sort of baddies in the dungeon. So your guy will, at the top of the interface, up the top of the screen, your guy kind of walks up and it's like, oh, now you have to fight a skeleton. So you match up magic staves and swords to deal damage, and then once you defeat the guy, he'll walk to the next thing, and it might be like a treasure chest or a door, and you have to match up keys to unlock that. And then there's another icon that's shields that provide you with defense, and then backpacks that give you items that you can use that vary from, like food, which will give you health. And how the health works is your guy will go further, closer to the right side of the screen. And the run ends when your guy gets to all the way to the left of the screen. That's when your health is out. So when you get hit, when you get hit, your guy will kind of jump back to the left side of the screen. And once he's all the way out of the screen, that's over. So it is a really simple mechanic that we've all seen, but it's a fresh new take. It's $2. It is a must play if you own an iOS device. I'm not too sure if it's on Android. Double check. It's really cool. It's a really cool concept. And on top of that, they've built in this whole upgrade system. It doesn't really have a story, but you're stuck in this dungeon and you can upgrade different rooms. So as you defeat monsters, you gain experience, which you can use to get skills like, oh, each of your swords does 5% more damage or something like that. And then as you upgrade or level up your guy and get more experience, you have access to different rooms in your sort of dungeon area before you go into to do the actual run. So there's a blacksmith, there's an alchemist that gives potions, there's a guy that upgrades your armor, so on and so forth. And you can use the loot that you collect in the actual game by matching all that stuff up and defeating monsters to upgrade your thing. So it's got a lot of depth to it for this little simple mechanic game. It's awesome. I've been addicted to it. That's all I've been playing on my phone for the last sort of 2 weeks. Really cool. Go grab it. That's 1 million. So there's what's that, 6 zeros, I believe. Well, as soon as you put 1000, it pops up as on the auto search. So, but yeah, huge thumbs up from me. The next thing I've been playing was, The Adventures of Shuggy. Grabbed it on the Steam sale, and I know we reviewed it. It got pretty good reviews, and I actually booted this up because, my sister was over, and she doesn't, you know, play a ton of games, but I was like, oh, let's check out Shuggy. I know it has a good co-op or a couch co-op mode. And what we did was ran the HDMI cable from my computer to the TV. So we actually played it on the couch with, two controllers, and it was awesome. That's a brain burner, man. Like, once you get up to some of the later levels, it's tough. And although the co-op doesn't use all of the single player mechanics, like it doesn't use the spin the screen mechanic, which is one of the major things. It does use a few of them, like the braid one where your shot or your, I guess you could, I call them shadows. What you did for the last sort of 30 seconds will repeat over and over. And man, that just, it melts your brain. So, but we got really far in that. I think we completed like 3 out of the 5 or 6 worlds, and I was just loving it. It's got tons of charm, and it's a really solid puzzle platformer. So if you've got Shuggy sitting on your Steam list and haven't played it, go boot it up, especially if you have a friend over. And I did test out the single player after, and I only did, you know, a couple of rooms, but I'm excited to go through that. It's not excessively hard, and you always know what you're supposed to be doing. You just got to take a second to think, and that's what I like about it. And it's a nice break from my other sort of pick up and play game where I was playing Spelunky, and that just infuriates me. So, and last but not least, for whatever reasons, I think it was because of our review, I picked up Dungeon Fighter Online again, and I had played this way back when it first came out. I think I was in the beta. And it was really cool. I booted it up on Steam, and my character was still there, which was awesome. So on the Nexon servers, it still has all your stuff if you played it before.
Nice.
And so I was super happy about that. I had like a level 20 monk, I think, or fighter, whatever the punchy girl is. and they have changed a lot, and for the better. It's much more streamlined. It still does have that sort of Asian MMO feel, but it's much more arcadey now and really easy to get into the dungeons and kind of do your runs. I'm curious to see. I didn't try if the gamepad worked on the PC because I think I would prefer to do the actual fighting with that. It just seems more competent, I don't know, as a brawler when you do have a controller, because I don't really like mashing the keyboard when I'm doing that. The keyboard's perfect for when you're, you know, doing your in-town stuff, which you just kind of fire around and click on tons of things. But again, that's super fun because you can grab, you know, three friends, so a total of 4 people, and just hop in, do a couple dungeons in like 15 minutes and, you know, have a great time. And it's not difficult, so it's another sort of popcorn game.
Yeah. Have you played the XBLA version at all?
No, I have not touched that at all. So I'm curious to see how they compare. But
yeah, you know, I've been curious about that too, because I played that. I think I might have even reviewed that for the site like back when it first came out.
Yeah,
and I remember saying to Nick at the time, I was just like, this would be really great if it was on like the Xbox or something like that.
Yeah,
and does it cost money on the Xbox?
Yeah, it's 800 points. But I played the demo of it, and it felt pretty good. And the way they do the controls is pretty solid. It felt a little more restrictive. Like there's only like 3 characters to choose from,
right?
Which seemed a little bit weird. But I know Mark and Paul have been playing quite a bit of it, so. But
yeah, no, it's fun. If anything, please, 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 everyone, just buy that million game. The other two can wait. But
maybe I'll do it right now.
Yeah, you should. But yeah, that's about it. Like, Shuggy's awesome. Dungeon Fighter's a lot of fun. And of course, I don't know, for whatever reason, I got that same disease Mike has, and I keep on playing Diablo. Like, sure, I have 4 hours on a Sunday. Why don't I level up my other 2 alts and just go do that for fun? So, you know, I've got a couple characters.
What you
got
to do is play play through Inferno.
I know. I don't know why I'm delaying the inevitable, but I'd really just have to.
I know why.
My main guy. Why?
Because you're waiting for the patch that's going to fix all the problems.
I don't have any problems with Diablo, though. That's the thing. Like,
because none of the problems really rear their head until you hit Inferno.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, well then I am blissfully ignorant.
The problem with Inferno is that you have to be patient enough to grind out the loot before...
Right. Right, right.
Inferno, for a while, was like kind of like putting your nuts in a vise. Like, we'd be playing four players and just dying constantly. I had like a little over a million gold going into Inferno my first time, and after the first couple days of playing Inferno, I had about 100,000 left.
Just from repairs?
Just from the repair costs.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But now my buddies and I, we have kind of a system, and we do pretty regular loot runs.
Root run, Robbie!
we can clear Act 1 and 2 without dying pretty regularly now.
That's pretty sweet.
And we're working on Act 3.
And are you doing those loot runs because you need better stuff to actually face, you know, Act 3?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the enemies start hitting you so hard that you need to be able to mitigate everything. So,
okay.
Like, the most important thing is you need plus resistance to every type of damage.
Okay.
As a stat. So right now I have, I think my character has like 700 resistance for everything.
Okay.
And 40,000 hit points and does 30,000 DPS.
Right.
And I am powerful enough that I can advance Act 3 now.
Right.
But before I got my stats to there, it was like the first elite that I came across would just one-shot me.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Now, yeah. No, and I look forward to that. It's again, it's my sort of just kind of sit back and chill game. It's not hard. You know, it's not hard on normal and nightmare, so. But I do look forward to those higher levels. I just, you know, haven't invested the time because...
A lot of the fun is actually kind of screwing around with your build at that point, because you can just kind of tweak and optimize and change your runes a bit and be a little more effective. And, of course, there's digging around on the forums and playing the drinking game of anytime a player says, all right, I'm never playing this again or buying another Blizzard product, and then seeing them crop up in another hate thread like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You don't like the game, and you don't like playing it, yet you sit here and troll the forums.
Yeah, that's weird.
Go play a different game.
Well, I mean, there are
a lot of games.
But, Mike, they don't have time for anything else. They only have time to troll.
My parents only bought me one game this year, and I hate it.
It's so bad. Anyways. Whew, who's up?
Yeah, we decided, by the way, Nick, while you're gone, this is now Diablo-mas, so...
okay.
The Diablo cast.
Well, let's go to Jason and talk about the game that I crashed last night for you when you and Andrew were playing.
You got Andrew to play a game?
Yeah!
No, I don't believe you.
No, come on. There is nothing that man won't do to stop and shoot some Nazis in the head. I mean, like...
Okay, that's fine.
It's pretty much the universal given, right? Like, you're playing anything else or you're doing something else. You got family obligations. All of a sudden, someone says, hey, you want to hop online and shoot some Nazis in the head? They're like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. Sniper Elite V2. I mean, like, I keep coming back to this every so often. And I keep coming back to it with Andrew. And we played through the entire campaign co-op on normal. And we got to the end of it, and the very first thing I said when we got to the end of it was, okay, I'm ready for more. Because it just, I mean, there's lots of reviews out there saying, so it's just a middling game and whatever, and it's true. It's not like it's the greatest game ever made. But it feels like the gameplay feels solid enough that it just keeps you going with it. Like, you know, you feel like you're learning the system, and particularly once you bump it up to the hard difficulty levels and you start having to account for bullet drop distance and wind and everything like that when you make your shots, like, you get such a satisfaction. Like, when you line up a shot and you shoot someone in the head over a 200-meter distance, you feel like, okay, I really nailed that. Like, I got that down. Like, I learned the mechanics of how to do this. And then, of course, the next five shots, you don't hit anything but, like, a brick wall. But those little moments of triumph, right? Those little moments of, I did something and I did it really well. It just pays you off so well for those. I mean, whether it's like you get a slow motion shot so you see the bullet tear through a guy's insides or something, or you just even watch, like in co-op, they don't do a whole lot of those, so in co-op you just watch the bullet as it flies, so you just see it hit the guy. Like, there's such satisfaction to it when you get it right that it just keeps you coming back for more. And there's collectibles, so like we're playing through and trying to get all the collectibles now. It's a lot of fun, and like, I don't know if it's dropped now in price. You know, it probably has, but certainly when it does, I definitely recommend picking up and playing with a friend. It's just one of those games that, you know, you'll come back to on your own sometimes, like you're really frustrated with something else, and you're just like, you know what? I think it's time to go shoot some Nazis in the head. And so you'll go and play that for a little bit, and then you'll go back to whatever else you're doing.
I definitely want to check it out, but I just had a vision of someone modifying a Silent Scope arcade machine to play Sniper Elite.
That'd be awesome.
I would never leave the arcade again.
Is it a case where you have to sort of fail the mission once, and then, like in Hitman, where you go in and then you screw up and you're like, okay, I know how this sort of level works now?
Sometimes,
to try and do
yes.
a perfect run?
Sometimes, yes. So, like, there's an achievement for, I forget which mission it was, I think it was the mission that Andrew and I were doing last night, where you get achievement if you're silent and you're not detected, like, the entire way to the objective. And, like, we're about three quarters of the way there, and Andrew is like, okay, are we doing the objective? No, he's asking this during that three quarters. He's the guy who kind of, like, you know, borrows the ideology that, well, I'm just going to run down the middle of the street, and if people start shooting at me, that means I've been spotted and I should probably find cover. So, with that strategy...
Like a proper sniper should,
like
right?
a proper sniper should. So with that strategy in place, three quarters of the way in, you're asking me this question, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure we're skipping that achievement this time around. He's like, okay, good. yeah. yeah, like, pretty much.
I like the question he had asked when I just, it was like right when I jumped in, he was like, so are we going to shoot this guy?
yeah, I mean, you can play through it, and like if you play through it on the hardest difficulty level, you probably will have more checkpoint restarts where you have to see, because there's tons of just like, I don't know, monster clauses, essentially, right? So you get to a certain point, all of a sudden, enemies appear that 5 seconds ago, before you got to the checkpoint, didn't exist. So if, unless you know where they're going to spawn from, you could get caught off guard pretty easily. But the nice thing about the game is that it does kind of give you a little bit of leeway in the sense that, okay, you get caught by surprise, you can still probably save yourself without dying. Like, you can still kind of clear the whole level and get through it all. Andrew's played through it on single player. I haven't played through, but like one mission, I think, on single player. And he said, on single player, it's definitely a different game because you have to be more tactical with things. Like, you're playing co-op, you have a buddy there, so you know that if you get in trouble, you have someone to kind of get your back. And single player, you don't. And so you start really having to be resourceful. Like, you know, in co-op, in single player and co-op, you can throw rocks to distract enemies. He and I never saw the point of that. Why throw rocks when you got two guys who can shoot people in the head? So, but in single player, you have to. Like, you have to gather enemies to a certain point so you can take care of them. Get them away from, you know, take care of them. or
know.
Take care of them or sneak around and just kind of go past them, you know, to get them past a certain point. So it's definitely a different game when you play it through that way.
Interesting.
Aside from that, no stealth involved. I've been playing the Secret World MMO, and
so it's not just a clever name.
It's not just a clever name. It's interesting. I haven't played an MMO since WoW, and that was back in 2006 or 2007 when I stopped playing. And I've been, you know, looking at different things here and there and just been like, I don't know if I can get into this one or that one, you know, Knights of the Old, or the Old Republic or whatever. But Secret World is one of those that, you know, I saw people talking about and I was just like, this is different enough that I'm really curious about it. And I've been very pleasantly surprised so far. There's definitely some things about it that are rough around the edges. It's not a perfect game, you know, in terms of, like, when you actually get into combat, you're just kind of sitting there, and if, particularly if you're a range class, you're just kind of, you know, the enemy's right up front, and you're just shooting your guns, hoping that you can fire off enough bullets until the guy dies. Yeah, you're pretty much doing this, or casting spells. So you see a lot of melee classes running around, but the missions are what's really interesting. Like, you have investigation missions, and you have to kind of look stuff up and research stuff, and so there's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, that it's very different from anything else.
It is.
Until you get to the point when, you know, you use the it tells you to look for hints on the fake websites that they set up for the game, and then you like, bring up the in-game web browser, and you start typing, and it defaults to Google.
Right.
And Google's like, you know, you start looking, and then, like, it brings up results for people searching for, like, the secret world quest name answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fake websites can't keep up on the SEO, so they get pushed
down. Pretty much. I mean, and there are lots of walkthroughs. And the very first investigation mission that I went through, I had to, like, you know, I did one of those because I was way overthinking it. Like, I was expecting something complex, and I was going into all this kind of things with it. And then the answer was just kind of like, no, you just go over there and you look at something. And I was like, oh, okay, let me go over here. So that was the very first couple, but I've come across a few more that have been more in depth, that have been, you know, like, yes, I see the SEO for that, but I'm just like, okay, I actually want to research what this is and go to the fake websites and look through everything, and, oh, okay, there's a symbol I see here, let me go around the town, see if I can find it again. I've been enjoying it, and I'm definitely looking forward to see what they do. I like the fact that they're pretty consistent with patching and updates, like they kind of have a content plan for this, that's a fairly consistent content plan, as opposed to, here you go, and let's wait 3-4 years and make you pay $50 for an expansion. So I think it's pretty good.
I like Secret World a lot. I wish that it didn't completely destroy my hard drive.
Is it huge?
No, it's not so huge, but it's something with the way it's constantly streaming data.
Yeah.
I have, like, huge frame rate problems.
Madness cannot be contained, sir. Cthulhu will not be.
I can run the game at, you know, a solid frame rate at its highest detail settings.
Okay.
And it hitches, so I drop it down to medium or low, and my frame rate doesn't change because it's already pretty good, and it just starts hitching all over the place. Like, anytime it, like, other players get loaded in, which is pretty, like, there's a lot of hard drive swapping and lock, stop.
It sounds terrible.
It might be a RAM issue. I only have 4 gigs of RAM in that machine, but it definitely.
Yeah, get that.
Get that. I built that machine years ago.
Get some more RAMs. Get some more RAMs in it.
Baba Black Sheep.
But have you been able to group up and like play with other people or?
Yeah, Jason and I played.
Yeah.
And is it fun? It's fun together, I'm assuming? The more the
merrier? It is fun. Like the best parts of that game are the exploration and the myth, like, the lore, the exploration, the investigation quests, and then everything else about it is forgettable.
Just typical MMO tropes.
Combat is not fun.
Yeah.
It's like you said, like, a ranged class, like, in any other MMO, your ranged class has utilities to, like, pin enemies or, you know, or snare them in some way. And at least in the early game, like, the ranged classes, they just get swarmed. Like, there's no reason to really use anything but shotguns, honestly, if you're playing with like a ranged class.
That's interesting.
Or magic.
Yeah, yeah.
But so yeah, like the story hooks and the investigation missions and things like that keep me coming back, but if it had to survive on its actual gameplay, no one would stick with it. Mm-hmm. But they do have a really, you know, it's like Jason said, they have a really good plan for getting It's trying to do a monthly update of extra content, adding more quests and things in.
Nice.
So it sounds like they probably split a team off at some point to start doing post-launch content as the game was being wrapped up.
And as Mike said too, anyone who's like a fan of Lovecraftian sort of writing and lore, I mean, they really do their research. Like this is one of the more complete kind of like they toss in little references here and there that if you've read any of his kind of short stories and works, it's you see these little lines going through that. It's really good. I mean, like they do a pretty good job of that. So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's very good, and certainly, at the very least, it's worth grabbing a box copy and playing for the free
month.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Mike, what else have you been playing?
Well, I played a ton of Fallout New Vegas on the Steam sale, but more recently, I've been playing Heroes of Ruin on the 3DS, which is one of the most painfully generic action RPGs I've ever played. Like, it's not a good game, but there is so much co-op about it. It's I'm reviewing it, and I can't imagine I'm going to give it a very good score. But the
spoiler alert.
But the thing is, it's a 3DS game that allows for four-player drop-in, drop-out co-op, a friends list, essentially guild management, and
voice chat.
And a worldwide auction house. There's so much about it that is geared towards playing with other people and
in a world.
To do our best Clarksons. But there's frame rate issues, and this game was in development for quite a while, as far as Nick and I understand.
I know, I saw it at 2 E3, so
at least I saw it at 2 PAXs.
So.
Yeah. So, like, the frame rate is pretty bad, and it gets worse if you turn 3D on, and it gets worse still every time you add a player in co-op.
Okay.
So, like, you're running around at, like, 12 frames a second most of the time.
How are the different classes? Because I know you and I checked it out at E3, and...
I played both the Guardian, or I think it's either Guardian or Protector, and... I wish I could remember the class names offhand. There's like an Alcatect, which I haven't...
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that they've mashed words together.
Alcatect?
Yes.
We're like a... Nick and I are both playing like a Berserker class.
Yeah.
Savage or something is what I think what they call it.
The big Catman?
The Catman is the Protector.
Okay.
And that's what I played at E3. And... they're both equally slow, lumbering melee classes, and the abilities are different, but they're just like the response when you click, like you activate an ability, and it almost feels like there's a second of lag before input lag before it actually does it. So you can hammer on the regular melee attack button, but it's like, so I press it like 3 times, and he'll have swung it once.
Right.
In that time, so it's very deliberate, and you can't, like, so if I hit the normal melee and then I chain up another attack, it won't, like, cue it and then do the next attack as a combo. It'll just ignore that you press the button.
Now, do those problems persist when you're not playing online?
No, it's the same way no matter what.
Oh, because that seems like an essential thing you need in an action RPG like that.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, your dodge is pretty responsive. Like, your dodge and your block is almost instantaneous. It's just like your attacks, they don't feel good. Like, they don't feel like there's any power behind them. And it's like an enemy will block, and the game, like, you can see the enemy block, but the game doesn't really give you a lot of feedback. Like, it'll you hit an enemy who's blocking, it'll say, it'll flash a message that says use a power attack to knock their guard away. But if you're in the middle of a combo and they put up a block in the middle of it, it doesn't, like, your attack doesn't look like it bounces off. It just doesn't do any damage. So it's kind of poor feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And The quest design isn't that great either.
Well, that's too bad.
Other than the fact that it's like an incredibly easy game to play co-op, I can't really recommend
it. Well, hopefully someone picks up on some of those, you know, it sounds like it's got some cool things sort of on the back end, but the gameplay just isn't there to support it.
It just needed it needs personality is what it actually needs, I think. I think the mediocreness of the gameplay would pass if it had anything memorable about it.
One thing that was kind of surprising to me when we played, and I went to join you, that there's a lot of public games going on right now. Like, there's a lot of people playing it, so if you do pick it up, there's no shortage of co-op players to find, which is good, because usually if, you know, like an XBLA title, even, because I guess that came out, what, like 2 weeks ago, the game, Heroes of Ruin, I think? You know, usually like an XBLA title, if it's not very good, after 2 weeks, you won't find anybody to play with, but...
The other interesting thing about it is that there are bonus quest objectives. So, like, you play something like Halo Reach, and it has the challenges. It's like, go kill 500 enemies in Firefight this week for bonus XP.
Yeah.
Heroes of Ruin has a system like that. So,
That's cool.
It'll be like, you know, play with... Like, one of the ones for this week is play with four different players in co-op. And
that's
you get bonus XP, or kill 500 enemies in co-op, or sell an item on the auction house, or and so on. It's pretty interesting. It's like there's like the framework for something awesome is there, which is why it feels like it's harder to play it, because you're like, there's so many good ideas and there's so much to do, but I don't want to do it.
Man. That sucks.
And the yes, the podcat is here.
Oh, great.
The other game I've been playing just a little bit of is Kingdom Hearts 3D, and the subtitle is actually Dream Drop Distance, so 3Ds.
Oh, I see what they did. So clever. So
wait,
very
wait,
clever.
Wait. Back it up. Back it up. It's 3D, and the title is what?
Dream Drop Distance.
I'm not following.
And the mechanic outlined in the subtitle is probably the most horrible thing I've ever seen in a game.
Is it match 3? Because I'm down with the match 3.
There's two characters, and there's the drop system. Is like you have a certain amount of time to spend in each character's parallel storyline, and once this meter runs out, it dumps you over to the other storyline. And it can run out in the middle of a boss fight.
What?
You'll be in the middle of a boss fight, the meter will run out, and it'll dump you to play as the other character.
And what happens to the other character when you go back to them?
You're, like, checkpointed back, and you have to, like, redo sections.
Oh, wow. That sounds terrible.
I haven't played a whole lot of it. But
and you have no control over that?
So like you can consume an item to recharge the meter a bit.
So you could be
but
like
you don't have an infinite supply of these items.
One blow away from killing the boss, like either ha and then snap.
Cool.
I'm reminded of a movie. I just can't remember which movie it was that did that.
Source Code.
Yeah. Time Cop. I don't know.
The interesting thing about it, like I still want to play it, but the interesting thing about it is, like, so you know the Kingdom Hearts has always been Disney and Final Fantasy, and then Tetsuya Nomura's masturbatory wank characters all
Zippers.
Over the place.
Zippers, yes. Keyblades.
It's been Disney, Final Fantasy, and Zippers. That's what it's all been about.
Well, the thing is, like, the Final Fantasy stuff isn't... There isn't a whole lot of it. Actually, I don't know if there's any because I haven't seen any yet, but like the, you know, there's...
You look uncomfortable talking about this one.
Yeah, keep going. I want to see how this pans out.
There's BDSM Mickey and...
No, there's characters from one of my favorite games in it, and it's... So, It's they're all from the world. The World Ends With You.
Tutti.
So, yeah, Twee Wee or whatever.
Twee Wee T.
Yeah, it's that game. That game is awesome, and seeing the character and seeing characters from it is pretty great.
That's pretty sweet.
But yeah, I need to put more time in it and see what's up. But like I've read a lot about the. Like how the drop mechanic actually ends up working like later on, and everyone's like, it's terrible.
Yes. Interesting.
Don't worry, it stars other characters like Meow Jesty and R&R Seal and Ursa Circus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Garbage.
I'm totally lost right now.
Let's keep going. This is like a fever
dream.
Talk
about real games.
Yeah. Nick, wash this from our brains.
Nothing but disappointment fueled by Square Enix. Right. The last three games I played on my 3DS were all Square Enix games, and one of them is amazing, and the other two are just like,
yeah. Yay. Damn. Well, the only game I've been playing is...
Hitter Rhythm is awesome, and you should all play it.
The only game I've been playing is a good one, but it's a backlog title, and that's Mass Effect 3. So I'm finally working through the single player and getting close, I think, with that. Nice. And I've been hopping on co-op, too, and there's still a lot of people playing co-op, so that's good. But yeah, you know, Mass Effect 3. I get to finally see what the whole ending hubbub was about.
And, well, no, you don't.
Rolling with in your party, man.
I always roll with Liara and Garrus, basically.
Okay. Classic characters. Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. Once in a while, I'll take Edie along, but... Yeah, they're my staple. They seem to do the best.
But you don't. Garrus has been like 100% in my party in all three games.
Yeah,
he's a good character. He's a great character.
Mass Effect 3 moments are amazing.
I like the little like side. You know, like so, Garrus has the little side mission thing where you go and you shoot the bottles with them on the top of
the little bro time.
Yeah, like
carrying it. This is my favorite spot on the Citadel.
Yep.
It's like. The rest of the game could have been garbage, but that line would have the game of the year.
Yeah.
Just, they made fun of their own joke from Mass Effect 2, and yes, I love it.
So yeah, that's good stuff. It's good to finally get like play a significant amount of time in the game, so it's not my own. But nice. That's not to say I haven't been working on Blue Shield Alliance, because we did get back into working on it.
But yeah, what's up with that?
But wait, I got to interrupt with this.
You mean this Blue Shield line?
I mean that one.
But
put
Nick,
that away.
You really can't see the ending hullabaloo because you are now going to see the modified endings, right?
No, I'm not. I didn't download the content.
Oh, you've avoided doing all that?
Yeah. Okay.
It hasn't forced it upon you?
No.
Okay. It forced itself upon you and thrust its ending into you.
He killed my father and raped my mother. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we started working... solely on the PC version of it, basically. After we released on Xbox, we did a patch, which I just found out the patch actually failed peer review after being in peer review for 2 weeks. So now we have to fix the patch. So, I'll tell you what, the whole...
That's some Polytron shit right there.
You know what? Yeah, go write an email to Phil Fish.
The Xbox indie game thing leaves a lot to be desired, and, you know, if Microsoft's going to kind of let it out to die anyway, I don't know.
Save it for another forum.
Yeah, this isn't the right audience to bitch about it, but yeah, so we've got some mouse and keyboard controls working, and I think we got something that's actually really good. In fact, I'm starting to like it almost better than the twin stick, which is weird.
No way, really?
Yeah, because you can do some cool things with it. Like, basically, we have it, like, you know, if you played, like, Jamestown, you know how it uses, like, the little cursor, and you can kind of follow that. So we kind of use that method, but you can put the cursor anywhere on the screen, and then hit W to, like, accelerate towards it. But what we do is we have it so it's sensitive. Like, if it's further away from you, you're going to accelerate faster towards it kind of thing. And you can kind of almost waypoint yourself around with it, which is pretty interesting. But anyway, it's cool. It works. It works better than I thought it would, because I was like, mouse and keyboard controls in a twin-stick shooter, just not going to happen. But
that's a very different way of doing it, right? I don't know if any of that... Because most things, you're going to just use the WASD key to... accelerate forward and move back. I don't know if one word
Spaz does it like that.
I'm sure some other games have done something similar. I'm not saying it's entirely unique. It's
No. I'm sure they have, but it's not very. It's not one of those mechanics you see very often. Most people just tend to stick to hit W. You go forward. So that's interesting.
So, yeah, the W is go towards the cursor.
Right.
Basically.
Cool.
But yeah, so if, you know, if you're listening, you should go to Xbox and download Blue Shield Alliance now and rate us and everything else.
Get those ratings in. And Nick really needs to feed his kids. So
I guess the good thing about having the patch fail peer review is I did some AI tweaks this weekend and some really cool stuff with the AI I think will help people that are having problems with difficulty. Everyone says it's hard. It's too hard. And I'll say what I said.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I know. But I'll say what I said to Mike before the podcast. If this was a platformer, people would praise it for its difficulty. But because it's a twin stick shooter, it's
obviously, you need to have Mike Tyson blown up to 500x and attacking you.
Yeah.
And then, only then can you equal I Want to Be the Guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Which got a sequel recently.
But, like, just to throw back to Spelunky, like, that is getting praised because it's so difficult. And it's weird because the problems, you know, every single problem with Spelunky that I have, I can sort of put back to it being my fault, but that might be more difficult to see in a twin stick shooter because there's a lot more stuff happening.
Yeah, it's pretty chaotic. Somebody said that the one review today that went up said there's more guys on screen than there are Indians in Bangladesh or something like that. I was like, I cannot believe that you just posted that. Yeah. So, and there's actually only 255 enemies on the screen at once. Yeah.
Wait, that's like super racist.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of guys on the screen is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. But, okay, so anyway, let's move on. Like I said, you can download that. Patch will be soon. PC version, hopefully, a couple weeks. I'm hoping to put pre-orders up on Desura, and you'll get like immediate access to the beta version through that. So that'll be cool to get that going. But let's talk about headlines. And there's a couple we got to talk about. And
What's up in the news?
We'll start my favorite news, and that's the date on the Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, which will be out on the PC in September 18th. So you got a little over a month to go. But
never
the big
played
news.
It.
What's that?
Never played it.
You never played Baldur's Gate?
Never played it.
Wow. Now you can. And best of all, you can now play it online, co-op, with matchmaking, and eventually with iPads and Androids and Macs. So
sold.
It's going to be
cross-platform.
I will
buy one
play.
Of your Baldur's Gates, sir.
So, yeah, total cross-platform play. It's going to have a new adventure. They said it's about a 6-hour campaign. There's some new characters to join your party.
They're awesome named Dorn Ilkhan.
Rasain Bashir.
What else we got? We got new voice sets. Well, it says native support for widescreen. So they actually like took the original source code and said they made over 400 improvements to this. So I'm really anxious to get my hands on it because I did play a little bit of Baldur's Gate around Christmas time when someone got me a D&D pack.
Nice.
You can...
Did you install the mod that adds the widescreen support?
Not for the original, no. Was it with that pack?
It wouldn't have been with that pack. It was an aftermarket mod, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically a wrapper for the Infinity Engine. You could play Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Icewind Dale, Icewind Dale 2, and Planescape Torment, all with widescreen support.
Oh, interesting.
What it really did is it pushed everything out and like just framed
it. It looked really slick.
Yeah. But people were actually saying that they were using like old school tablet PCs and, nice. And turning them into like Baldur's Gate tablets.
Yeah,
that's rad.
So that's good news. And $20. You can pre-order it for $18. And like I said, September 18th. We got some news about, what's it called here? Fortnite, Epic's next game, which is going to be PC exclusive. And, what was it? Tanya Jessen dished the details on it. And it's looking really cool. It's looking to be, everyone compares it to Minecraft right away because it's about building up fortifications and protecting yourself at night and stuff like that. But it seems to be really geared towards co-op, and they talk about like things like blueprints and stuff like that, that you can find to build specific structures and things like that. And the art styles really kind of come along and setting itself apart. And the big news was it's going to be Epic's first Unreal Engine 4 game, which surprised a lot of people because past games that, you know, were the engine flagship were kind of like, oh my God, this is the most realistic looking thing we've ever seen. But instead this time it's very stylized.
It's going to have to be showing off like the scale of the things that you can build in it. You know, it's like rather than being just a graphical powerhouse, you remember when Half-Life 2 episode, I think it was episode 1 came out, and there's that scene where they just break the barn and everything just like falls on itself realistically. Like the crazy ass physics. I think that's probably going to be a lot of.
It really seems like the Unreal Engine 4, the thing that they're pushing the most is developer focused, and that's their scripting tools and some of their stuff that's built in. They're saying that, you know, it's going to be a lot faster for folks to write stuff in it. That's, you know, all the big thing that seems to be the first thing that comes out of their mouth. Not that, you know, it does X amount of ambient occlusion, HDR, blah, 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 blah. It's, you know, we have this scripting set and it'll automatically do this, this, and this for you. You know, you automatically get day and night cycle and whatever else. So.
I really like that, you know, they're taking this direction where it doesn't need to be the most beautiful game, or it's got its own unique look, but they're focusing on the gameplay. I you know, I love gameplay over sort of graphics, so I'm all for this. I'm excited.
So yeah, you know, it's a PC exclusive from Epic, which it's been a while, but you know, it'll probably show up on next gen consoles eventually. But yeah, so check that out for sure.
Nice.
And let's see. Let's talk about Borderlands 2. It was announced, or it was said by marketing, that the campaign is 58 hours to play. You know, exactly 58 hours to get through the Borderlands 2 campaign. No minutes more, no minutes less. 58 hours, sir. They said it. It must be true. Too much? Too little?
Too much for me.
Yeah, that would be
a grown-ass adult. I don't have 58 hours to spend, even though I probably will finish it. But
what is its current release date?
September something.
So
that 22nd or something that.
That pretty much means that based off of what he said happened to him last time, Andrew won't be playing any other game until November, the end of November. Because yeah, he was telling me like he got completely lost in Borderlands and a 58-hour campaign in Borderlands 2.
Yeah, and it's not even just it's him and his wife. They play together. Like
yeah, they're mental. They're mental. Yeah. It's crazy.
let me put it this way. I'm gonna call it now and say if that game can't be critical pathed in less than 20 hours, I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. So
like Borderlands 1 was probably like a 25-hour campaign.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then he'd run around, what, like between 30 and 40 with side mission stuff?
Yeah. For Andrew, who put in 400 hours. And that's not an exaggeration at all.
Are we getting this on PC or Xbox? What's the preferred platform here?
Probably both, maybe.
I mean, I have to get my item that I want at E3.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You guys have those cards.
So, I guess we'll see. Let's move on to our last story, and this one's not so much about co-op and stuff, but I thought it'd be a little bit of an interesting discussion. And since the Solar Empire Rebellion, Stardock put out announcements that it's sold over 100,000 copies via digital distribution, one of their highest selling games, I guess, quite some time. And what's unique about this is it's Stardock's first kind of big title that isn't available at retail. And if you read the story, Brad Wardell from Stardock kind of goes into some details on how it works at retail and how there's like a 6-month lead-in time and, you know, all the stuff that goes into it, which is pretty interesting read in itself. But the other half of this, which is kind of unique, is that they were worried that Steam was actually going to kind of cannibalize their own sales And what they found is, like, their own sales, their direct sales through Stardock itself, and I don't remember what, I guess, I don't know if they're still counting Impulse as themselves or not. Probably not, since GameStop has it.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Yeah, but basically, Steam made up for the difference of not having it at retail, and their sales stayed the same. So they were pretty happy. Obviously, they want to sell it themselves because they get the bigger chunk of the pie, and Valve isn't taking some off the top. But, you know, I mean, this is a very PC-centric title. It's not a AAA game. It's, you know, it's probably would not be the norm for something not at retail. You know, the gamers that want this kind of a game are the ones that are going to digital distribution channels already. But I don't know. It's the start of, I think it's a validation of the trend, maybe. It's the best way to say it.
I really like Sins, but, and I'll attest that it is a niche title, because it's like I described in the review, it's like watching fun paint dry. But it's not something where you walk up into a story like, oh, cool, space sim. You know, for lack of a better word, that's not an impulse buy.
So you're saying the general
Solar Empires?
Yeah, I'm hearing about I can almost guarantee you nobody's walking in. Where's that 4X at? I gotta exploit.
Three won't explore, do. Bitch. I need four.
Oh man!
Inside an X, inside an X, inside an X. That's four X's.
Stop!
You only got two X's.
You gotta stop. Anyways.
Oh god.
So you just birthed a new nerdcore rap song called Four X's. That I will send to Brad Wardell.
So the Walmart clientele is not into the 4X strategy.
No, they're not buying this. The people who like this are super nerdy strategic dudes like me who like commanding an armada. And yeah, of course you're going to get it at digital.
Where do you shop for games, Locke?
The internet.
You're there right now, aren't you? You're
right
at
now,
the store.
This is it. See the store? It is here. There's it.
Hey, you gotta get my store now. We're closing, all right?
You're out of here.
Wait, Locke. It's all coming together. Locke wrote Acts of Gord.
Yeah, exactly.
And I am disappointed that you guys passed on that reference.
Ouch.
All right, let's talk about our feature discussion for tonight. And we're going to talk about single-player sequels that have co-op, basically that have added co-op. I'll go through a list of a couple, and we can maybe talk about some of them. We talk about Orcs Must Die 2 is out via digital distribution only, Steam. We saw Torchlight 2 is coming out in a couple months, and that has co-op. Assassin's Creed 3, we talked about it last podcast. That game's finally getting co-op. Dead Space 3 this fall, or maybe it's February, but another single-player game that has added co-op. In the past, we had Dead Rising, and there's been a few others that basically have added co-op for the sequel. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think that these developers or publishers, whatever, they added it because they thought it would help sales or because the game is too scary? You see what I did there, huh?
What is it that we've heard so far, right? I mean, like, in terms of interviewing over the past few years from folks and particularly from your interview with Randy Pitchford?
I'd say the one trend that, you know, when we started earlier on was, it was, you know, co-op is a lot of work. That was a commonality we heard a lot, right?
But co-op is a lot of work for the payoff, right? I mean, like, in terms of the whole thing, it's, you got to put all the development time in, and what's the payoff that we're seeing versus something like, something like multiplayer, where we can keep the servers running and can bring in new people. That was a couple years ago, right? People start changing their taste for things. You start getting a whole lot more games out that have co-op that are attracting, you know, all this attention, and all of a sudden, okay, co-op is becoming a selling point to a game. And so it's worth the production time, it's worth the money, because it's going to keep people playing for it. Mass Effect 3 is a perfect example of something that's add co-op, and there, and as you said, there's still people on there playing the co-op mode right now, you know, at this very moment. So I think, you know, there's some of the games, we can go into specifics later, but I think some of these games, it was a, you know, it feels like it was an inevitability for them to add co-op, like, it was sort of one of those features that was missing the first time around, and the developers knew it was missing. But there's others where it's just kind of, if you feel a little bit like you're adding this on because it seems like it's a popular thing to do.
You can, there's some pretty stark examples of that, like Orcs Must Die and Torchlight. You know, people that we've had pretty intimate conversations with, they, you know, whether it was a resources or time or money or whatever reason that they couldn't have it in the first time, or in their first iteration of the game, and now they, you know, they wanted to add it but couldn't, but now, you know, it was designed for that all along. We see that. Like, Torchlight just begs for that. Why wouldn't you want to play with more people? But then you see something like Dead Space 3. I don't want to play with anyone else. I just don't, personally. And, like, Assassin's Creed, it's fine with an extra mode, but I don't know, there's something about it, like, I wouldn't want to play an Assassin's Creed game with a friend. I don't know. I think it's personal preference, but a lot of the sort of bigger companies that see it as a selling feature or a tick mark on their box, being like, oh yeah, it has co-op. You know, I find that to be almost like this generation's deathmatch, whereas we saw that in the last generation, be like, oh yeah, let's get deathmatch in there. We want to, you know, you want to be able to shoot the other dudes and kill your friends, but, you know, I think when you don't plan for it from the beginning, it lacks something. It lacks some substance or some soul to it. Whereas, you know, you look, I don't know, Torchlight's just such a good example of, maybe it's because we know those guys well, but I don't know. I just see it as a true co-op experience that, you know, they wanted it in there all along, but, you know, for whatever reasons, they couldn't have it in there. And it's nice that they can have sequels and get it in there. So.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing Orcs Must Die, the first game, before it came out, and talking to one of the developers, and obviously the first question I ask is, you know, you guys have plans for co-op, and they're like, oh, you know, we might mod it in and stuff. He's like, we really, really wanted to do it, but we just didn't have the bandwidth yet, and we weren't sure, you know, how well this was going to do. So it's pretty obvious, like, when they decided to do a sequel that they were going to put co-op in there. And from, you know, what I haven't got to play it yet. I had pre-purchased it and everything. I just haven't had time other than what I played at, like, PAX. But, you know, the co-op apparently is really good, and I've read a few reviews where that actually said, like, some of the levels, like, it feels like it was designed for co-op, and in single player, it's a little bit too tough.
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of times where you do have to basically split off the levels, say, you cover this side, I'll cover this side, and you don't have to worry about, you know, half of the level, which is good, so. Just because that game, like, Orcs Must Die gets super hard. The first one gets super hard towards the end. Yeah. So.
Mike, you have anything to say? Add.
Share with the class, Mike.
Share with the class. You know, I think, you know, you guys kind of hit on it. You know, sometimes it's a lack of resources that prevents co-op from being in it, and sometimes it's the market research. But, you know, I read a lot of those interviews where they talked about Dead Space 3, and they said, oh, it's not going to be, you know, people are, like, too scared to play it, and that the co-op, you know, all those misleading headlines that came out, they're like, oh, they said it's too scary, people focus tested, this game's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. And all they had really said was that, you know, some people preferred playing a scary game with a friend, you know, either with them or just there or with them in the game, and it made overcoming a tense moment.
And, I mean, you and I played through Silent Hill 2 that way.
We did. It wasn't so much that it was a scary thing, but it was kind of a nice way to have a shared experience there.
Exactly.
And
then I went and went to bed, but that's a separate issue.
Hey, yeah, hey. You and I also played through Resident Evil 5 together.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun with that. That game was actually just not scary in the slightest.
No.
But that, you know, it's another example of a game that you know, most of the time you're roaming around either with another character or in close contact with other characters, at least in the later games in the series. Like, you know, and the capabilities of everything caught up and allowed them to make that game. And I really liked adding co-op to that. I think sometimes developers go about it the wrong way. Like the bullet point on the box, like one of the best examples I can think of is probably the Spec Ops mode in Call of Duty.
Right.
It's like, what do people want for co-op in Call of Duty? They want to play the campaign with friends. And Infinity Ward had been immovable in their mind that, you know, this, you know, can't do that. Just scripting and the story, like, we have big things to say with our...
Even though you're rolling with a squad the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too hard, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so everyone wanted co-op, so what do? They make this other mode that is just, like, remixed versions of sequences in... So, say there's 50 set pieces in, you know, the campaign. Well, let's take 25 of them and turn them into little 5-minute missions. And yank all the story and everything out of it. And otherwise, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, you play it. And it's, to me, like, that isn't, like, a huge thing for me. I it was fun, but I don't see myself coming back to something like that. That's why I'm actually a little worried about Assassin's Creed 3 adding that co-op mode, because it seems like it's, they're just taking the multiplayer and taking one of the teams out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's interesting, so this is another recent game that kind of said the same thing. We thought it was going to have co-op, and it didn't, and they're going to have the co-op mode, and that's Spec Ops The Line. And that's almost one, though, after playing through it, that I would almost... I could see why they decided not to have co-op in the campaign, even though all but one kind of part, you're with a squad of people, and, you know, there's even squad commands and stuff in it. But just the way that the story unfolds and... the dialogue between the characters and stuff, and it would definitely lose something in co-op. Like, they were going for an impactful story with it. And if you read a lot of reviews, I think most of the people probably agreed with that, where there's some moments in it that are just, you know, this is war, and it doesn't glamorize it at all. For Modern Warfare, we were all like, I think what hurt us the most was they were like, you know, oh, we can't do it because it's going to hurt the story or whatever. And then we play it, and then we're like, what would change exactly? Because now you're making us play the same things that you said that, you know, we couldn't. And like you said, they basically just took out, like, some of the scripting sequences that go between.
That's a weird decision.
The thing was, in co-op, like, those Spec Ops missions, like, I played a lot of them with Locke. Like, they were fun. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
they're good. They're good set pieces. They're challenging, too.
Yeah. So... anyway,
it's interesting. It's always a tough call, and you know, I you can tell when people design with co-op in mind from the beginning, and you can tell when it's tacked on. But the best thing about, you know, games with sequels is that, you know, if you're successful enough to have a sequel, you can, you know, put things in that you maybe have missed in the first one. So,
and I'll say the one thing I found really interesting about Dead Space 3 was, I think it was on the Penny Arcade Report where Ben Chera, did an interview with one of the producers and developers, and they basically said, we're doing co-op the expensive way. Like, they fully went into the whole thing of just being like, we're adding this mode in so that people can drop in and drop out, and we know it's not cheap, but that's what we decided was the best way to do it. So I kind of had some respect for them for deciding to do that, as opposed to pulling it out and making a separate mode or something like that. Like, they really kind of committed to it, which is good. I mean, I think it speaks volumes for when people are willing to make that step up.
Alrighty. Well, we've been rambling on for well over an hour now.
All right.
So we should wrap things up.
Has our viewing audience dwindled from 4 to 2?
Yeah. All one of you watching right now.
Hi!
Hi, Mom.
You are.
You are the best.
All those other people? Nothing.
You can have the last shirt for split reason.
There you go. So yeah, so let's talk about what do we got? We got iOS, we got Windows Phone 7, we got Android apps. I'm actually working on updating the Android apps shortly now that I got a new Android phone and it doesn't look proper on the high-res screens. I need to fix that.
The iOS is so, the app I have on the phone is so good just because you're like, oh crap, I have three people. What do I do? And you just pick. So yeah. Go get it and rate it, people.
I actually had, we had a great email from somebody that works at, he just said at a big retailer, and he said that he has the app on his iPad with him. And when people come up and ask for co-op games, he fires it up and helps them search for them using it. So that's cool. That's cool.
See, people at Walmart do shop for games.
But yeah. So if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave feedback. I haven't fired up iTunes in like years. I wonder what our rating is on there. Anybody know? Anybody look?
100%.
100% awesome.
Yes,
it should be.
All 5 stars.
Yeah. All right. Okay, what else? Locke mentioned shirts. We still have some shirts from Split Reason. Very few left. I think they're all smalls because I think last month we didn't even sell any.
We should do a shirt redesign contest after PAX.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I like it.
And what else? Twitter, we are Co-Optimist without the dash. Voicemail 646-926-6748. And I believe that's it. Hurry. iTunes is going to take like 4 years to open.
Yeah, good luck, man. You're going to have to update all your crap.
It might be ready by next podcast in 2 weeks.
Check back. Next podcast.
4.5-star rating.
4.5? Out of 5? Woo-hoo.
Out of 5, yeah.
Nice.
How many reviews?
10 million.
110,000.
Wow, that's good.
Anyways. Locke and his mom. Somehow his mom only gave it 4 stars.
I want everyone to chime in on the thread about some other sequels, single player sequels that have co-op.
And
the top reviews from our friend Lefty Brown over at Married Gamers.
And thanks, Lefty. You're awesome.
A quick shout out on our forums, too. Be sure to check it out. Eric Murphy, Smurfster, our forum manager, is trying to put together an Extra Life team this year.
Yeah, I got to get back to him on that. We're gonna do good on that. We'll have a page set up and everything.
Yeah, so be sure to go check it out on the forums he's got up there and sign up for it if you're interested.
Cool. All right. This has been Co-op the Cast episode number 90. I'm Nick. We got Jason. We got Locke. We got Mike. Thank you for listening and watching.
Peace!